I'm back. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Saturday Mornings, WFHG 92.9. Thank you for tuning in this morning. We're here in Bristol, Virginia. The sun is shining. It's a beautiful day. Rick, what's our temperature? 74 degrees. Perfect summer weather for the beginning of August. Happy August, everyone. We are joined with our special guest, Curtis Wisely, with Motorbike Adventures. Good morning, Curtis.
Good morning, Christy. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for coming in today.
Oh, it's no problem at all. Thanks for having me.
So we were giving a little teaser before the show. We're trying to get the microphones ready. What are we doing? Okay, so before the show, we were talking about motorcycle biking, motorcycle riding. This is something that I don't have very much experience with, and I'm sure some of our listeners do and some of our listeners don't. So I want you to take us back to your first opportunity to get on a motorcycle. What was like that for you, and like how old were you?
Oh, wow. I must have been probably third or fourth grade, actually. I was probably 9 years old when I got my first motorcycle. It was a motocross bike, KDX 80cc. So I started riding this bike, and I tore the heck out of it, actually. I broke off all the fenders, you know, from trying to pop wheelies and jump hills, and I was on a bike pretty much all my life after 8 or 9 years old.
Did it scare your family? Or were they?
My dad and mom are avid bikers, too. So,
oh, good.
So it's a family business, I guess, or a family hobby, if nothing else. So
The first experience that I had on any type of motor vehicle was being doubled by my cousin. Now, I could be making this up because sometimes I make things up, not on purpose, but it was a 50. Is there a motorcycle that's like a 50, a tiny little?
There are 50cc motorcycles out there, yes.
Okay, like maybe a foot off the ground?
Probably so.
Okay, so we lived on a farm, and she would double me, and at one point we hit a hole, and I did not get the concept of when I'm falling off to let go, so I was drugged for quite a period of time.
Oh, no.
So that was my first experience. Later, I've been on a motorcycle a few times, being doubled by somebody when I was much, much younger. But I find it very exciting and fascinating. And it seems like for people who want to do this, once they get the bug, it's there forever.
Yes, it gets in your blood. It really does. So it's there's plenty of ways to travel. I think really it feels like you're in the movie versus watching a movie when you're out on the bike on the road. So you can travel in a car if you'd like, but it doesn't really have that personal feel to travel that a motorcycle gives you, in my opinion. So that's how I choose to do it.
So you recently have started a blog. Tell me about the blog and why you decided that you wanted to start sharing your adventures with other people.
Well, it kind of happened by accident, really. I've always loved to write, and I've always loved to ride motorcycles, and the two hobbies just kind of converged as I started up my Facebook page. I never really was into social media before this point, so it just kind of suddenly started happening. People started following the blog and liking it. I kept getting a lot of positive feedback on it, so I kind of transitioned over to a public figure page, and I have about 1,200 followers now on Motorbike Adventures, and I share the history, some open road philosophy, and my sorry attempts at humor as often as I can on there, so people seem to enjoy it.
That's perfect for Saturday mornings. Thank you. One of the things that I noticed that's interesting that you said that you've always enjoyed writing, because for a lot of us who are not writers or poets or authors, sometimes doing a Facebook post or a blog post can be a little challenging because you know what you want to say. You know the energy behind it. But to get that out in a language that conveys that to other people is difficult. And that's one of the things that I noticed looking through your blog. It's very eloquent in the way that you put it. Really paints a picture in your words, not just in the photography.
Well, thank you so much. That's great to hear that.
So who takes your pictures for you?
My beautiful wife, Irina, takes my pictures for me.
And she's here this morning.
She is, right behind me.
Good morning. You can be on if you want to. You don't have to be on. No pressure. We don't want to start fights on Saturday morning. It's too beautiful outside. So when you started blogging and you started putting this information, what was your initial concept? Getting people excited about it? Sharing what you're doing? What was your vision?
Well, really, in the beginning, I guess it was all about me and what I wanted to kind of, I guess, save or scrapbook as far as my travels. Then I realized people were interested in what I was doing, and I got very interested in kind of teaching people about the history of places I go, kind of sharing my general philosophies about travel, about kind of living for the now, I guess, if you will, to a certain extent. And the more I realized how interested they were in it, I kind of catered my writing to suit those needs, I guess, for lack of a better description.
So how often do you ride, and how do you determine where you're going to ride? I know there's a lot of information out on the internet, but sometimes it's difficult if you're going to do a ride, how you plan that and how you can make sure that you're prepared and it'll be a ride that you can really enjoy.
Well, I ride about every day almost. So it's very, very rare that I'm not on a motorcycle if you see me out in public. As far as making up my routes, I'll sit down one evening and I might make about 5 routes in different directions. And then, you know, one day if I decide to spontaneously go out on the road and do something, I'll say, okay, where is it not raining? And I'll find the route that kind of is in that general direction and I'll head that way. I try to keep a lot of it as spontaneous as possible because you don't want to, you know, rigidly structure your motorcycle trip, or it doesn't really give you that same sense of freedom that you would have, I think, otherwise. So it's structured to a certain extent in that I can avoid the rain, but other than that, I pretty much play it by ear.
And we've had quite a bit of rain here recently, which I'm sure has definitely made things a little bit challenging.
I've been in the rain gear quite a bit here lately.
Let's open up the phone lines, if that's okay with you, people have questions. It's 1-800-469-0098, 1-800-469-0098. If you'd like to join the conversation, we're talking with Curtis Wisely with Motorbike Adventures. So what are some of your favorite rides that you've done that maybe our listeners would be interested in?
Oh, whichever one that I'm on at the moment is the one I enjoy the most. I rode across country a few years ago, actually. I think it was the summer of 2015. I took Route 50. It starts in Ocean City, Maryland, and takes you all the way out to California. So we took Route 50 all the way out west, going through through the loneliest road in America, Nevada. Went through Colorado, Utah, some beautiful states out west. We hit Route 1 in California and took it up to the Redwood Highway up into Oregon, and then grabbed Route 20 all the way back east. 20 meets 52 right about the Mississippi River, and you can take 52 back home. So it was essentially a big rectangle around the U.S., and I got to see a lot of interesting sights along the way. So
so how long did it take you to do that?
I think it took us 3 weeks and one day, if I recall correctly. I wish I'd had one more week, really, to slow down a bit and see more, but it was great, a great experience.
Let's talk about your equipment. What do people need if they're planning on riding? What kind of bike do you ride? I heard a rumor. I don't know if it's correct or not. Mm-hmm. I hear lots of rumors. But do you build bikes? Do you do your own bike work?
No, I just started doing that, actually. I'm not a natural mechanic by any means, but I'm teaching myself using YouTube mostly along the way.
YouTube is great. You can teach yourself to do anything other than surgery, but maybe. Yeah. But don't. Yeah. Yeah.
I have tried that, too, in the past. It didn't work out. I wouldn't recommend it. Actually, I'm building a custom chopper that was actually built back in 2003 by Carl Isaacson from Tennessee. I'm trying to recall his exact location, but I'm rebuilding the motorcycle that he built back then. It has some wear and tear, so I got it all apart in my garage right now, trying to get it back together. I have 7 other bikes that I'm riding currently, so it's a big mixture of cruisers and adventure bikes and just different sorts of bikes. So if I'm going to go up in the mountains somewhere on dirt or gravel roads or up on paths, I'll take one of the adventure bikes or the enduro bikes. If I'm going to, you know, take a big long highway trip, I'll get a cruiser and kind of suit the terrain with the bike.
So you have 7 other bikes other than the one that you're working on.
I do.
Is this something that you're always kind of looking in the future, what you want to add to your collection? Are you kind of always sort of looking out there to see what else is available and what you might want to add?
I always am, but really it just kind of happened over time. I just didn't trade in my motorcycles when I went to buy a new one. A lot of people will trade their motorcycle in and get something new every few years, and I get attached. They're almost like family to me, so I just try to make room for them. But no, I'm not really looking all the time. It just kind of happens, and really it's space dependent for me, really, because you got to have a place to store the motorcycles and keep them. So I think I'm nearing my max limit. So if I'm going to have more of a collection,
you got to get a new space.
I'll probably either get a new space or have to trade one of these that I have in. So.
If somebody's interested in starting to ride, and let's say they haven't had a bike in 10 or 15 years, I know there's bikes for sale all over the internet, eBay, Facebook Marketplace, anywhere you can see bikes. What are some of the things that they would need to look for if they were thinking about purchasing?
Really, I think motorcycling is a very emotional thing. I think you have to make, you know, logical decisions when making any kind of purchase. But I really believe that you should find a bike that fits your personality. I think there isn't really a wrong way to go. Find something that's good for your budget, and find something that really kind of speaks to your soul, I guess. You know, you want to find a bike that really brings out who you want to be. So no specific advice as far as that goes, but just make sure it's mechanically sound and make sure you know how to ride before you go out there and try to do something something like I'm doing.
And mechanically sound, I think that's one of the interesting things. I've talked to people who do different hobbies, and in particularly motorcycle riding and things like that, and or even bicycle riding. And a lot of times they end up teaching themselves because they have to do tuning up and replacement parts and things like that. And so they become kind of a stand-in mechanic for some things so that they can be able to continue to ride and things like that, and save money too.
Oh, yes. With as many bikes as I have now, doing my own maintenance saves me probably thousands and thousands of dollars every year. I haven't calculated the exact number, but even, I mean, something as simple as changing your own oil for all seven bikes, that's a lot of money being saved by knowing how to do it. Plus, if you're out on the road and you kind of get stuck somewhere, or you want to know kind of how to get yourself out of a jam if you need to. So,
okay, when we come back, we need to take a quick news break. I'd like to talk about what you pack on your bike.
Okay.
What you've got on your bike?
I shouldn't take.
It's
long.
Like the first aid kit. Oh, is that it? Okay. I got a bottle of water and my babe on my back. Okay, we'll be back here in just a few minutes. This is your host Christy Slaughter on Super Talk Saturday Mornings, WFHG 92.9. Welcome back. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Saturday Mornings, WFHG 92.9. I'm back with my special guest, Curtis Wisely, with Motorbike Adventures. You can find his blog on Facebook. If you go to my Facebook page, Christy Slaughter, then you can get the links, because we posted a couple pictures about your adventures there, and they can follow you and what all you're doing. Before the commercial break, we were talking about what to pack. Are there a few things, if we've got new riders, that they could maybe be prepared to have in their toolbox?
Well, two things come to mind right away. I don't pack much when I want a motorcycle. I'm kind of a bare minimalist. But bring rain gear. Whatever you do, bring rain gear. And a toothbrush. I'll get to that here in a minute. But I've actually been hypothermic two times on a motorcycle. Both times I was out stuck in this long-lasting drizzle that just kind of, you know, blows the heat off of you by convection as you ride. And I think once my temperature dropped to 90 degrees. And so I couldn't feel anything at all below my elbows, you know. And I was trying to control the clutch and the brake, and I couldn't really feel what I was doing. And I kind of had to stop for the night early, you know, and try to warm back up. A simple rain gear would have prevented all of that. So I've learned my lesson, and I take rain gear. Even if it's only a small percentage chance of rain, I'll take rain gear with me. Other than that, just personal hygiene stuff and clothing. If you're going to camp, you know, you'll have to pack up your tent a certain way. Usually it's best to roll your clothing. You can make it more space efficient that way, because I'm, like I said, I'm bare minimalist, so I don't have a lot of bags and things like that and packs. Just hygiene, clothing, and rain gear would be my suggestion.
Okay, so let's just go there. Have there been other times that you got into a situation and you thought, okay, how am I going to get out of this? Other than the hypothermia, which is enough.
There may have been a few times. I had a couple of close calls, actually. We were coming out of a place called O'Neill, Nebraska, actually, a few years ago. And there was a storm nipping at our heels, and I was trying to kind of stay ahead of the storm. And the wind was blowing us all over the place. My mother and father were actually there at the time as well. They were riding behind me. And they said later they were terrified. I was humming the tune to Gilligan's Island, actually, you know. It's like, the weather started getting rough. So I was being thrown all over the road and everything. And I went to pass an 18-wheeler. And a gust of wind hit this 18-wheeler as I was trying to pass it. So my dad backed off and got around it, and I had to speed up and get ahead of it. You know, it was a very, very close call, and my heart stopped there for a second, you know. So be very careful on windy days if you're out on the bike, or better yet, you probably should seek shelter instead.
Okay, thinking about 18-wheelers, during the commercial break, we were talking a little bit about other people on the road, etiquettes for motorcyclists and for those of us who are driving cars. So what do we need to know that we might not be aware of?
Well, I guess really just to look for motorcyclists. I think a lot of people kind of go into autopilot when they're in a car, because you expect to see another car on the road, but sometimes you're not really expecting to see a bike, because, you know, it's just a much lower ratio of motorcycles to cars on the road. So if you're in that state of just intuitive driving or autopilot, you know, it's very easy not to see a biker and swing a left and run into someone. So I would just say be very attentive to the surroundings in general, and then keep them alive would be preferable.
Because sometimes you're on the interstate and all of a sudden you see a person on a motorcycle and you're thinking, where did they come from? They just appear out of nowhere. But that's a really good point. We had done the brakes course in Charlotte, North Carolina this past year, and we got to get into an 18-wheeler, and it was amazing to see how far back somebody had to be before the tractor and trailer could even see that person. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of times we just don't know another person's perspective because we haven't been on that vehicle or that motorcycle.
Sure. I've noticed a big difference in when I'm driving a car even. Yes, I do drive cars every now and again. But actually, I do notice motorcyclists more because I'm more, I guess, in the mind frame of looking for them without even really thinking about it. My autopilot actually is accounting for motorcycles already, I suppose. But I think the biggest cause of a lot of bike crashes is people just kind of driving on autopilot. I think that's probably the case. So I would like to stay alive, so please look for me.
Yes. Wave hello to Curtis. Okay, waving hello. Is there a special camaraderie between people who are motorcycle enthusiasts?
There is a very strong camaraderie you find when you're out on the road. It doesn't matter what kind of bike you're riding or what cultural background you're from. People talk to you if you're on a bike, if they're on a bike as well. As far as the biker wave, there's what I call the low throw that the cruiser riders will kind of throw their hand low, and you had to kind of respond in kind. I noticed a lot of adventure riders here, they actually will do a peace sign or kind of a wacky wave or a funky wave, you know, kind of varies a little bit more. But the traditional cruiser riders will always do the low throw at you as they drive by.
Okay, this is an ignorant question, but for those of us who are not experts, adventure riders would be considered people who would do like off-trail stuff too, or how does that work?
Well, adventure bikes handle the trails and the roads. So essentially you can drive, you know, 500 miles on the highway, then pull off onto a dirt path and ride up into the mountains. I've just recently kind of got into that as well. I had ridden cruisers up until that point before, but I'm really starting to appreciate what adventure bikes can do. You know, there's really nothing you can't do on them. So I'm kind of getting more and more into that as I move along. You can do anything that a cruiser can do on the road. You curve a bit better, and you can pull off onto a path and go up into the mountains. So that it kind of suits my needs perfectly.
It seems to be a growing trend in that field. I think a lot of people want to be out in nature, see more of the land and where we live. What are some of the rides that you could possibly recommend to our listeners if they're interested and they want to do some local things? What are some of your favorite rides?
I've been to a lot of places. I don't really memorize, I guess, route names, but I know the Back of the Dragon is a very popular route around here. I know you have the Chiricahua Skyway in the Carolina and Tennessee. Let's see. Big Walker Mountain is one of my favorites, actually. I drive around Big Walker all the time. You can see, I think, 5 different states from the top of their tower there.
Incredible.
Big Walker. But really, just open up Google Maps and find a place you're interested in and just take the scenic route.
Or better yet, go on Curtis's blog, because you have all the pictures and he can help you out and get the information there and kind of get a sneak peek of it.
And I save all my routes. So if you guys would like a motorcycle route, I could always send it to you from my blog. So more than happy to.
Well, thank you. That's so generous. Okay. Is there anything else that you want to share with our listeners about your adventures or what you're doing, or maybe some inspiration that would get people who are sitting at home and thought, this is something that I've always wanted to do, but now I'm older, I don't know if I can do it, or I don't know if I have the money to do it. What kind of inspirational, motivational words could you give to our listeners?
Well, really, there's no time like now. People tend to kind of hold off on things they want to do with their lives because life kind of gets in the way, you know, of things, hobbies and traveling and things like that. But I would recommend just jumping in and doing it, because really, I think you'll regret it later if you don't. If you're unable to travel, you know, I've found people on my blog that are kind of unable to get out and move if they have a certain illness or something like that, keeping them from it. And I like to kind of show them the world as I see it, you know, and try to describe the world with my words. And I think they appreciate that. But if you're able and willing, I would highly recommend getting out on the road. If not on a motorcycle, just hop in your car and just go out there and see what it has to offer. I think it's the best classroom in the world.
If you don't mind, give us your contact information where people can find out more.
Well, really, my Facebook, if you get on Facebook and you search me out under Curtis Wisely Motorbike Adventures, you will find me. I think I'm almost at my max friend level on my personal page, so definitely look for Curtis Wisely Motorbike Adventures, and I'll get you on there, like and follow, and we'll go on this trip together.
Congratulations on all of the popularity and following that's really skyrocketed here recently. So thank you for sharing your adventures.
It was a big surprise. Thank you very much.
Good. Yeah, we need him to market us, Rick. Okay. Thank you. And thanks for coming in, your beautiful wife, and all the pictures that you've done. We're going to take a few pictures and we'll post those up at the links.
That sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Are you riding today, by the way?
Not today. I thought it was going to rain. Don't tell anyone who's not listening.
He's dressed in biker gear, so we're gonna pretend today. Well, it was supposed to rain, so yeah. Okay, thank you. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you.
We're going to be back here in just a few minutes. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Saturday Mornings, WFHG 92.9.